You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks, as it is 20 minutes till 11 AM here on this Wednesday, April 3rd. It is time for our Valley Talk program, and joining us once again is Gary Wilhite, the Polk County Commissioner. And Gary, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Sunshine, and I tell you.
Yeah.
This might be spring.
It might be.
But
you know, we can't get too ahead of ourselves.
No, I'm not, but I'm excited about the weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I think we all are. But let's take a look back at some things that have happened recently, including the presidential primary.
Yes. You know, not a huge turnout, as I think I and many probably anticipated. But we did have almost 3,000 votes cast, and so that was good. That's the Crookston and, of course, the townships in Polk County. Total ballot was around 2,890, so that's about 17% of individuals who could participate, or at least registered voters at that time. You can always register as a reminder on that day. But as far as some interesting statistics that I thought was important to share is that of that 2,890, the polling place, 1,076, and then a higher number, 1,815, with mail-in voters. And really what's happening there is the townships. You know, and there's 58 of them in our Polk County. The majority of them have decided that that's the route that they want to go. It's certainly more economical for them. So that kind of explains why there were more mail-in votes. And let's see, how does that compare in 2020 primary? And, of course, there were a few more candidates at that particular time, and that was almost 4,000 votes, so close to a little under 1,000 less. Interestingly enough, you couldn't switch parties. You had to designate which party that you were going to be voting for. So if you were DFL, you received one of those. If Republican, different ballot, and the marijuana party also had a candidate was running. And the DFL had 689 voters, and Republicans had 2,132. So a little bit of a surprise there, perhaps. And the marijuana party had 10 individuals. And then there were, you know, some write-ins for Mickey Mouse and all kinds of maybe other individuals there. But, Mr. Biden, President Biden, received the DFL endorsement, and Mr. Trump, the Republican.
What are the significance of these numbers?
Well, I'm not sure. It's probably more information for the parties, because now the parties have those names of who voted, and they'll probably be getting mailings, and it's maybe possibly a projection of what the way the county would go in a November vote, but who knows.
I find it interesting that there were less people at the primaries this go around with less candidates rather than 2020, where there were, you know, more options available, if you will, and there were more votes, or at least more people that showed up.
Well, certainly more interest.
Yeah.
Certainly more interest. But like I say, the timing, I think by the time March 5th, I think, was the election, pretty much Mr. Biden was the only serious candidate. So a lot of people are probably going to stay home there. And I think Haley was probably the only individual on the ballot other than Mr. Trump. Mm-hmm. And so that maybe would explain why there were more Republican votes out. I think we kind of went all that. I don't have that information of how many Mr. Trump got versus Nikki Haley with me. But, you know, it was pretty much one-sided.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess, is there anything else next for the, as far as the presidential voting goes until November, or are we just kind of...
Just a lot of advertisements, I think.
Yep, yeah.
And we'll get a little bit of North Dakota with that, too, if you've been watching and listening with the governor position open over there, so we'll have plenty of ads there. And I suspect, I think their conventions and are in, midsummer, so things will kind of step up a little bit after that.
Does what happened in North Dakota have any effect on Polk County at all?
You mean who the leadership is? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. And two well-known politicians there, Lieutenant Governor and then the Senator, I believe, or Rep, is running there. So certainly at least two qualified people. And I think there was another individual who Pepcorn, something like that, I think on the news last night from the DFL side, is also running for governor now. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll hear plenty of ads.
Yes, that we will. That's probably the only guarantee that
the only thing I can guarantee you.
Yes. And you recently went on a trip to St. Paul, a pretty interesting and informative trip.
Yeah, I think it always is. I've had and people say, well, why are you going down there? I mean, it's just a waste of time. But, I truly don't see that. It was County Commissioner designated day, so their schedules would open up and type thing. That's not to believe that you're the only group that's there that particular day. I think the day we were there, it's kind of interesting, the soybean farmers were there. So I ran into Mr. Hanson down there, and it was kind of nice to visit with him. But I think police chiefs were there, fire chiefs were there. Representatives from the blind were there. So a busy day, but we had an opportunity to visit with Mark Johnson and Deb Keel, and just to make sure that they remembered where they were from, and of course they do, and we address items with them too. But it's a whole district kind of getting together with those two legislators and making sure that our priorities are well known. And so that went fairly well. It was kind of interesting because I don't know if they were coached or not, but the words that I heard the most was, we have no more money. Mm-hmm. And my question was, well, what? You had $18 billion last year and you raised taxes on us. There should be... And the feeling I got is they probably overextended themselves and are not going to have enough money to do a lot of the things that they were going to do in 24 and certainly not in 25. So that is an issue. But it is a bonding year, and those dollars are, generated towards that, and I understand that. And our two priorities was the landfill that we have here in our county. A lot of the ones in local areas are going to be shut down because of regulations. So where's all this going to go? We don't want it to go on the ditches and people's lawns or, keeping it in their house or something. Garbage has to go somewhere. So we're asking for some additional funds to expand that and for pretty much now for a 9-county area, which... going to generate a lot more activity. And then the other thing was something that's been important, I think, for state, federal, and we just have kind of put our thumb in it a little bit, was getting clean water to the rural areas. And we were successful in doing that in Climax. They were in a very bad situation. I think we had talked about that earlier. We didn't pay for the project, but we did expand it so the pipe coming over from North Dakota could go to different communities. And so that's something we'd like to see expanded, but it is very expensive. But it is a federal and state importance to get that out there. So we're hoping that we can get that program going a little bit further.
You mentioned at the very beginning of your answer that you wanted to remind some people down in the Twin Cities of where they came from, and how important is it to keep reminding them of that, and also just having your face be there so then they can keep remembering you guys and maybe have some of the other parts of Minnesota, you know, more fresh in their mind.
Yeah, you know, and that's what their job is, and that's what our job is here in the county, is to be open and to listen to what priorities, what real needs are out there. I mean, there are a lot of things would be nice to have, but they're going to have to decide between, what's going to be funded and what is not. It's crazy. I think they have 1,600 new bills that they're looking at. I mean, money is one thing, but now, of course, regulations and things like that. And with the marijuana, you know, they need to work that out. The resource officer in schools, another big issue to deal with. So they're busy. But I think it's a little more difficult to say no to a person directly to their eyes. And, you know, no, we're not going to do that. Then it is, if you never show up and you're just kind of an unknown county in northern Minnesota and all the population here is in Minneapolis metro area, they're the ones that, but we pay a lot of taxes up here too.
Yeah, and it's the personal connection that sometimes can prove to be so valuable.
I think it is. We've gotten so much into a computer email society that it's just not the same.
Yeah,
you need to and I'm not saying it's not bad to send out emails or letters to these legislators either, but they are very, very busy, and they just need to hear, I think, from another human being's mouth what their feelings are.
Yeah, and in other Valley Talks that we've had in the past with other guests, that's kind of been a recurring theme, is that, you know, when you show up, it really, and especially in numbers too, that can really be way more powerful than, you know, all the emails that you could send or all the letters that you could write, which do go quite a ways.
They do.
But, you know, showing up in person, that's that extra emphasis. And then,
well, it takes us 5 hours to get down there, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to have to spend a night in a hotel or two and then back, you know, and it's a time commitment, but well worth it. That's what county commissioners should be doing.
Yeah, good to hear that the trip was was a positive in
so
your
I eyes. Think it was. Everyone's concerned about taxes, and of course, in the mail today, so I mean, we can talk a little bit about that too. It's a busy time.
Yeah, well, let's go right into those tax forms. You know, taxes, it's always on people's mind.
It is. I would have gotten two mailings this week. The first one that I received was a valuation notice. Now, if you hadn't noticed, that number was on the proposed taxes for 2014 that we all received here at the end of last year. But this one here is an official document that says how much the assessor has assessed your property for 2025. Okay. Now, the taxes that you're paying this year were the ones for 2000, a year ago. So that would have fairly simple. It talks about when the next proposed tax notice will coming out in November. That'll be after counties and cities have set their levies, and then the statement again for next year usually comes out in March. And that value is assessed. I don't like the way the system is set up. I've told state legislators, and they go, "No, wait, it's your decision on how they." And I go, "Well, yes, they are, but you tell us they have to be in 95% of the sales that created last year." Well, that's fine, but I mean, that's going to change from year to year in a smaller community. I think there are maybe seven or I don't have the exact number of house sales there were. I'll look that up because I know I have that somewhere, but I don't want to just talk from what I think it was. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, I mean, each year's a little bit differently. A lot depends on what the interest rate is. When the interest rate was low, people were willing to pay a little bit more for the house because their monthly payment would be less. And that's what, you know, I mean, obviously you buy a house on what it costs, but you also want to know how much is going to come out of your checkbook. And that will change a little bit, I think, of the amount that someone's going to pay for a piece of property and in what price range. But that's the way we have to do it. One of the properties that have really areas has been on the lakes because some of those properties have sold close to $1 million. And, of course, that affects everybody else's who didn't sell her. So I suspect there are going to be a lot of questions regarding that. I think even in the city of Crookston and Grand Forks, assessments went up. But, you know, the real question is, what do you do about it? And the form does tell you right at the bottom, and I encourage people to follow up with that, to contact the assessor's office. And from the feedback that I got back from yesterday at the meeting is that people are doing that, calling there, wanting to know why and would like to maybe sit down and talk about that. And the assessors are certainly willing to do that. And if there's some reason why your property is not that high, maybe there's, I don't know, bad roof, water problems, I don't know, whatever that. That information perhaps isn't made aware to the assessor, and then they can make any types of changes. But you want to do it in April. April 22nd is the actual official local Board of Appeal open book meeting. Okay, now that's putting a lot of pressure on yourself to remember that one day when you can just go next week, you know, or whatever. And then the follow-up, the county board, the commissioners get involved with on June 18th. And that's the County Board of Appeal and Equalization. And that's an interesting evening. We'll generally have folks in that have some questions regarding, you know, maybe the assessors looked at it, didn't agree with, there wasn't, you know, so we end up kind of being the negotiator there on that particular day.
Yeah, so it's always interesting when those get sent out.
And then the second one that comes out is the one I think that people are most interested in. And, you know, a lot of people get real excited when they see that value go up. But the real factor is, in my opinion, is the levy amount percentage that your community or county or township sets, because that will make a big difference. So when I took a look at my statement, my taxes did go up. But I do would like to mention that people take a look. It isn't that full amount isn't county dollars. We get to be the collector of that. But that also includes the city. So if you want to take a look, you know, the county is separated. And then number six on your form. And number seven is the city of Crookston. And city of Crookston, that levy ended up being a little higher than maybe most people expected in that 18%. So that is showing an increase. And then, of course, you have the school district. And those dollars are there. Watershed, those types of things, very minimal. It's a solid waste fee that citizens of Crookston pay. an ambulance cost of $38. And then a sidewalk fee is included there, I think, at $20 from Crookston. So take a look and read the details so you know exactly where the areas that are taxing you. And then if you have any questions with that, you certainly can contact those individuals, either city council people or commissioners. They're the ones that kind of made the decisions. So you can kind of go from there. And then I say we'll step into the, I think, on April 16th, I believe, after our county committee and our finance personnel committee, which I serve on, we're going to have our first meeting to start looking at what our budget for next year is going to be. And that schedule was approved at yesterday's meeting, so we've got a pretty good an idea as far as how we're going to approach that.
Well, Gary, thank you very much for joining us on our Valley Talk program once again, and informative as always.
Well, I hope so. If you have any questions, certainly give me a call.
Yeah, and well, I guess what's the best way for people to contact if they have any questions regarding anything that we talked about or anything that we have?
I think certainly with assessors and things like that, just call down there, and I've got that number handy right here because I think it's on the form, and that's, where is it, Mr. Gary? It's right here. It's 218-281-4186. That's probably what's on people's minds right now. You can go on the website and contact all the commissioners' direct email and phone numbers. So easy to track down.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Gary, and look forward to speaking with you next time.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. As that was Gary Wilhite, the Polk County Commissioner, on today's Valley Talk program.